Cool.
Guys have a good week? Yes? Somebody had a birthday, I heard. That was nice. Huh? Wait, 35, 36 this year? Well, hey, you know, if you don't get it right the first time, you do it over again, right? So I could see where you want to try to do 35 over and over and over and over and over and over. praise the Lord. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I'm sure you guys have an interesting week. We all do. Praise the Lord for that. So we're just, and I was thinking about what I was going to preach about today. Is Matt Wiseman there a couple weeks ago preached on the ark, Noah and the ark, you know. It's kind of interesting. That same Sunday, my oldest son and his wife come over and ask us if we wanted to go down with them to see the ark. So last weekend, we went down and saw the ark. And that was pretty amazing. It's just amazing to see that big boat. You know what I mean? It's just a big boat. And no rudder, no steering, nothing. It's just a big boat. And I don't know if I'd have faith enough to build something like that. God told me to. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? But anyway, so that got me to thinking and kind of led me where we're going to go today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's just see what He's got in store for us today. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We just, Father, we praise You. We just love You, Father. We just cannot express our love to You in the way You expressed it to us. You bore our sins on that cross. Father, the longer I live, the older I get, the more it just impresses upon me how much You loved us. And I thank You for that, Father. I do. I praise You. Father, just be with me this morning. Give me a word to speak that will apply to our hearts. We can know that You are God and You're in control. Father, I'm just Yours this morning. Excuse me. Father, Your precious name we pray. Amen. Interesting, Paul. It's very interesting. The Psalms 139 is kind of cool. Just a little update. My brother, I don't know if you guys seen the prayer chain. My oldest brother, Jack, he's kind of in the last stages here, basically. There's nothing they can do, so we're just kind of waiting. You know what I mean? It's just a waiting game. So Friday went down. They called and said he went downhill really fast. So trying to get him moved back here. We'll see what happens with that. But I shared this morning with the praise team. I guess I'll share it with you. My oldest brother, Jackie, the doctor came in, and my brother did this, you know. He goes, "What are you doing?" He said, "Flying." "Flying." He says, "What are you flying to, Florida?" He said, "Home." I thought, yes. Huh? Praise the Lord. When you know where you're going, it's good. It hurts, but it's good. But you know what? You're going to heaven. Huh? This morning coming to this here church here, I heard a song. Guy saying, some people call it heaven. I call it home. Some people call it dreaming. Just let me dream on. I thought, praise the Lord, huh? Yeah, long story short. Anyway, we're going to be in Isaiah 53. You need to put a marker there because we're going to be using jumping today. I gave Julie some scriptures. It's called the Suffering Servant. And how does this tie in with the ark, right? I don't know. So we went down and looked at this thing. I don't know if any of you went down there and seen it. It's big. It's just big. And you get inside of it and you start looking around. It's like, it's pretty amazing. We spent all day there. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like an all-day event just to see this whole thing inside. They have ideas on how they fed and watered the animals and all this stuff. You know, it's pretty cool. And the thing that kept coming to my mind was, nobody believed Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Think about this. He preached for 100 years. It took him 100 years to build that boat, right? He preached for 100 years. How many converts did he have? His three sons and their wives and his wife. That's it. He preached for 100 years. Wouldn't that wear you down? It would. I was thinking to myself, you know, we look at truth, oh, get more and more people. More. And he preached for 100 years and 8 people. Him, he was number 8. Only had 7. See what I'm saying? In Isaiah 53, we're coming on to Easter. You guys know next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Wow. Getting closer. You know what I mean? We're getting closer. And I was looking at Isaiah 53, and chapter 1, or Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who has believed?" The Amplified said, "Trusted in, relied on, clung to our message of what was revealed to us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed?" Who's believed what you said? And I thought, man, that was Noah, right? That was him. Nobody believed him. You know what I'm saying? They'd never had a rain before. It was all earth was watered by mist. They didn't know what rain was. They talk, this dude has bumped his head one too many times. You know what I'm saying? He smelled way too much cypress wood. That the guy has something wrong with it, right? Huh? You think that, right? You would. Who's believed our report? And put your finger on Isaiah 53, okay? Because we're going to go look at John chapter 12. I want to show you a couple things here. Probably, Isaiah 53 is probably referenced to or quoted over 30 times in the New Testament, okay? So we're going to go to John chapter 12. I just want to read a little bit here. John chapter 12, we'll start at verse 35. Jesus is talking to his disciples here. He says in verse 35, it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'You will have the light only a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness may not overtake and overcome you. He who walks about in the dark does not know where he goes.'" Verse 36, "While you have the light, believe in the light. Have faith in it. Hold on to it. Rely on it. You may become sons of the light and be filled with that light." Jesus said these things, and he went away and hid himself from them. Verse 37, "Even though he had done so many miracles," check this out, "even though he had done so many miracles before them," right in front of their eyes, he actually saw it, "yet they still did not trust in him and failed to believe in him." Verse 38, "So what was said, what Isaiah the prophet said was fulfilled, 'Lord, who has believed our report and our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore they could not believe. For Isaiah has also said, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. He has made their minds dull to keep them from seeing with their eyes and understanding, for their hearts and minds repenting and turning to me to heal them.'" Isaiah said this because he saw his glory, spoke of it. Isaiah saw God's glory. You read in the beginning, he saw the glory of God. He said, "I saw him high and lifted up." He said, "I saw God." Jesus says, you know, they don't believe my miracles. They see him. They saw him do miracles. Wouldn't that be something to see a dead guy laying there and Jesus raising from the dead? Woo-hoo! How many of you guys would still be in here if that happened? The door's right. I'm out of here, right? You think about that? They saw him do it. Still didn't believe him. Who's relied on? Who's believed our report? But Isaiah, who's believed it? I wonder about that sometimes. You ever talk to somebody about Jesus? You ever share your faith? I see some squinty faces like that. They say 92% of the people who get saved never, ever share their faith. 92%. A lot. You got something, guys. You got something that the world needs, and the worst, it's not money, it's God. You got it. You don't share it. 92%. That's a lot. Just a little side note. Okay, Isaiah, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 2, "For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground." Listen to this. This really hit me this week. "He has no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." Jesus looked just like everybody else. There wasn't anything fancy. There wasn't anything royal pomp or certain. It was not. He looked like everybody else. You know how I know that? Keep your finger in Isaiah 53. Let's go to Matthew 26. I want to read something here to you. I want to tie this together a little bit because a lot of the times, some of the things they said, Jesus actually quoted Isaiah. It's pretty cool. I think that's kind of important. I don't know. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 47. We'll start here. This is when they were talking in the garden. We kind of talked about there a couple weeks ago, actually. But verse 47, it says, "As he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12 apostles, came up, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people." Verse 48, "Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I shall kiss, he's the man you grab.'" Why did he have to do that? It was dark. I mean, I could say I couldn't see in the dark. They had clubs, they had torches, you know, they could see. Why did he have to kiss Jesus? He looked just like everybody else. You couldn't pick him out from the crowd. If he was in a lineup, you couldn't pick him out. There was nothing fancy. There was nothing about him that would make you think, that's him. Nothing. What Isaiah 53 says. Let's go back. Verse 3. Wow. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by man. A man of sorrow and pains, acquainted with grief and sickness. What? And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Isn't that something? You know, I think of our Lord and Savior on that cross. Nobody was stood with him. Everybody deserted him. He was taking your sins and mine. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? And then I got thinking about sin. You know, what sin? Sin is a willful deviation from God's will. You know what I mean? We sin, right? You can look at it in a lot of different ways. What comes to my mind, and I'm a food guy. You guys like to eat? I kind of like to eat. Morgan, I see that. Yeah. You ever been to Quaker Steak and Lube? I never have. But they got a chocolate chip cookie there. You ever get the chocolate chip cookie? The chocolate chip cookie is like that big. And I'm not. It comes in a box. Looks like one of them to go by. It comes in a box. It's about that big. It's chocolate chip cookie. Hot. Melting. Chocolate. And then it comes with a side of like homemade ice cream. Now, and I thought about that sin. You know, when I see something like that, I'm thinking, you guys are getting hungry now, ain't you? I lost you. You guys are all going. We're going to Quaker Steak and Lube after church, right? Huh? When I see that cookie, I'm thinking, you know, that thing looks good. Doesn't it? That thing looks good. Yeah. I'm waiting. And I started eating. I got that ice cream. And pretty soon, I ate that whole cookie. Huh? And then what happens? You know what I'm saying? Why did I eat all of that? I was stupid. What was wrong with me? Huh? I'll never eat again. Right? A couple hours later, you're going to be hungry. That's okay. You see what I'm saying? Sin is like that. It looks good to us. It looks good. We enjoy it. It was good eating that chocolate. That was good. That's bad in the end, right? Yeah. I guess that's how I pronounce sin. Christ went to that cross to carry your sin in mind. And the reason he did that is so we could spend eternity with him. Isn't that cool? Huh? Yeah. Let's keep going here. We ain't going to get nowhere. I'm spinning my wheels here. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. You say, Matt, he has borne our griefs. You guys have any griefs? Yeah. We all suffer some stuff, don't we? This Hebrew word for born is the same word that's used when the floodwaters raised the ark. The floodwaters carried the ark. It says, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he bore our griefs. He picks you up and carries you. That's something. He bore them. He bore them. It's like all those people and them animals in the ark, they were saved from the flood, right? Because they floated on the water. Probably had to be pretty stormy outside, wasn't it? Wouldn't you think? I would think it would be. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. You know, God had a plan. You guys have children. We have to discipline our kids, right? Because they need it. Right? They need it, right? And I think about that. Could I actually send my son to take the place of somebody that I didn't even like, that didn't like me? I don't know. God had a plan, though. God's love and his justice met on that cross. It met on that cross. And when you think of love, I have no concept of it. I don't. I don't think any of us can have a concept. Because I love people that love me, right? You know what I mean? You can love people love you. Do you love somebody that hates your guts and wish you died? does everything they could to try to kill you, would you still love that person? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? It gets a little harder. You know what I'm saying? It gets a little harder. I was that way with God at one time. So were you. Wow. Let's keep going. Chapter 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. I got buried down in this really bad. I got buried in this. Wounded is a Greek or Hebrew word that means to pollute. I get dirty. Dirty. He was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions is a noun that signifies willful deviation from, and therefore, oh gosh, rebellion against God. He was defiled for my thought process of wanting to eat that big cookie. Wow. Because it looked good. For my sin. My transgression. My willful. I decided. I was smarter than God, so I'm going to do it my way. How many times does that work out for you? Doesn't seem to, does it? No. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my guilt and iniquities. Wow. That's a big word, isn't it? Iniquities. Means to bend, bow down, twist. Sin. And then I started looking at that. When I do Bible study, do preaching, I write beside the verse, I wrote down something, you know, to let me know what's there. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a really intelligent guy, so I write it down. Well, on this one, I just put amazing. Huh? Amazing. So let's go look at another verse. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 34. I want you to see something. Exodus chapter 34. Moses said, he had taken his tablets up to the mountain, and God had written on them, and the children of Israel had messed up, and he went down and he broke them and had a big ordeal. And now this is God says, tell him again, says, now Moses, verse 1 says, now you go cut a couple tables of stone, tablets of stone, you bring them back up here, we're going to talk again. So it says, no man shall come up to Mount Sinai. So Moses cuts these tablets of stone, gets up early in the morning, and he goes up. Verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord proclaimed his name. Listen to this. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Loving kindness. Keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. you don't understand. God is holy. He can't look on sin. He's holy. I can't comprehend holy. I can't. I don't think anybody can. You know, I don't know anybody holy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anybody perfectly holy that can't look on sin. God is holy. And he said, I'm going to forgive your transgressions, and I'm going to forgive your sins. How is he going to do that? He's God. His judgment met his love on the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? God paid the price. I keep saying this. I don't get it. I don't understand why. Why did he love us so much? Why? I look in the mirror and I wonder why anybody loved me. You know what I'm saying? You ever been there? Huh? I'm the only one. Okay, I look in the mirror and I think, man, how can anybody love that guy? He's an idiot. There's nothing wrong with me, I'm just stupid. Huh? I wonder that. God loved me. What'd he say here? Oh my. But who will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And I looked at that, you know. Decisions I make as a dad, decisions I make as a grandfather, affect my children and my grandchildren. The alcoholics, the person's an alcoholic, their kids are probably 50 times more likely to be an alcoholic, I wouldn't wonder. Because it's there. It's that sin carries down. You know what I'm saying? So as a parent, as a dad, as a mom, I think about that knowing. I think about that. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect as a parent. You're going to mess up. I want to just tell you right now, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up as a grandparent. You're going to mess up. Huh? Isn't it great? That's good. It's good to know. I'm going to mess up. And that's okay. Because God knows we're going to mess up. That's why He had to send His Son to that cross. Pay the price for it. Because He knew we were just a bunch of mess ups. Yeah. Let's keep going. Verse 9. Moses made haste to bow his head before the earth. What do you do when something like this happens? Moses says, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship. And he says, if now I found favor and loving kindness in your sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray you, go in the midst of us. Although it's a stiff-necked people. Looked around outside lately. We seem to be a lot of stiff-necked people. Moses, yep, they're stiff-necked, Lord. Well, you're going to be in the midst of us and pardon our iniquity, our sins, and take us for your inheritance. What's God telling? The Lord said, behold, I like this. I lay down, I'm going to read this to you. Behold, I lay down afresh the terms of my mutual agreement between Israel and me. Covenant. I'm going to lay it down. God said, I'm going to lay this down. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been wrought or created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people whom among you whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing. That will do with you. Do you understand? God's in your corner. Heard that song? When I feel like I'm surrounded by you. You ever hear that? It just repeats that. Yeah. You know that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Heard that? You know, when you're in the midst of something, you're surrounded by God. Do you know? Do you understand? He feels your pain. Do you understand? He feels your heartache. Do you understand? He knows what it feels like. Do you understand that? When I understand that in my heart, I can go to Him and tell Him, say, you know, God, this is a bad situation. The situation, my brothers, is not good. You sit there and watch somebody breathe, you know, waiting for that last breath. That's where it's at. It's basically what you're doing. You sit and watch them. You think, wow. And pray, and the Lord's been impressed on me, I think this is going to be it. Unless the Lord steps in, there's no turning around here. And the Lord's been impressed on me to be merciful to Him, just to make it fast, make it go. If you're going to go, let Him go. You know what I'm saying? Because you get to that point, because there's nothing, the doctor basically said there's nothing. You got nothing. His liver shut down, his kidney shut down, I mean, he's just shutting down. It's like it's only a matter of time. It's a matter of time. And I pray that, and we prayed around the bed with him, and interesting, the nurses there were awesome. We had awesome nurses, you know, they were just great. And the one lady, she said, you know, I'm really sorry to meet you guys like this, but I really enjoyed having you guys here. And I thought, praise the Lord. Huh? It was cool. We just talked and had a good time, and she was just awesome nursing. But it was like, you know what? And I felt that peace. I felt God surrounding me, you know what I mean? No matter what happens, it's God's will. We know that. It's hard. We know that. So, this iniquity thing. Let's stop in the book of Psalms on the way back to Isaiah. Let's go to Psalms 32. I'll read you something here. This is written a long time ago. David wrote this psalm. And I want you to catch this. Psalm 32. He's talking about iniquities. And I guess if we're walking with the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, I think this is something that's going to impress upon you. Psalm 32 says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. It's amplified. Is he who has forgiveness of his transgressions continually exercised upon him whose sin is covered. That's you. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's you. You're blessed. You are blessed. Huh? What's going on? Verse 2, blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied, as the Amplified. Is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Wow. You mean when I become a child of the Almighty God? Huh? My sins are covered? Remember I told you that big sweatshirt that goes down? You're covered. God can't see my ugly old face when I look in the mirror and think, huh? God can't see that. He sees your son who paid the price on the cross. Huh? Wow. Let's go on. Verse 3. When I kept silence, before I confessed, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. What? You hear what he said there? David has sin. It was a known sin to him, but he had not confessed it to God. Wow. David said, I sinned, and I didn't confess to God. And drive me up. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. That sin was so besetting him, he had worried about it, he was thinking about it, he's working on it, it's a sin, he knew it was a sin, and he said, it just beat me down, and I'm drying up like the desert, it's killing me. Huh? So your hand was heavy on me, Lord, you knew the sin, I just hadn't confessed it to you yet. And what's your Bible say there? Selah? Selah? Selah is just the term that says pause. Calmly think of that. I can't calmly think of that. I'm thinking, man, I got this sin, and I feel terrible, and I feel like I'm drying up like the desert, and God's got his hand on me. But what are you going to do about it? What's the next verse say? I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, continually unfolding the past till all is told. Then you instantly, the Hebrew is the phrase, instantly forgave me. What? You mean I harbor that sin around and carry that thing and it works me down like he's going to? And all I got to say, God, I confess that sin. And I'm okay. Isn't that something? Isn't that great? That's great. He says, you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. You instantly forgave me. Because of what Christ did on that cross, he instantly forgives you. You know what else? He forgets it. So why do I keep remembering it? Because I'm stupid. I told you that. Huh? He forgets it. So he throws it into the depths of the sea, never to remember it again. He forgives you of your sin. All you got to do. I have sinned. Can I tell you how many times I confess my stupid thoughts of sin all day long? When I try to, I thought, boy, I'd just run that guy right off the road. He's still an idiot. He shouldn't even be allowed to drive. Huh? I've got to confess that sin. You know what I do? It's gone. I just confess this sin. It's got to go. David says instantly. Verse 6, for this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely when the great waters... and the great waters of trial overflow, they shall not reach the Spirit in you. I think of the ark again, you know. The water outside, it was bad. I mean, water and nasty and stuff. The people inside were safe. When you're in the middle of a storm, it hurts. It hurts. But I know God is still in control. God is still in control. Wow. Verse 7. You are a hiding place for me. You are a hiding place for me. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Isn't that cool? You know, when you're in the middle of something, it's not shouting and singing and stuff. You know what I mean? But when I look at my life, I look back over my life, you know, I can say, in all the things I've been through, and I got more stuff to go through, so do you. God has always been there. His peace has always been there. His comfort has always been there. His strength has always been there. But I was asking, you going to be able to preach today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. We need to hear the good news, right? Praise the Lord. Them people down at the hospital, they need to hear the good news, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it's a bad situation. God's still in control. Yes, he is. I think we better quit reading there. We're not going to get very far today. I'm sorry. So, Isaiah 53, let's go back there. Oh, gosh, let's say the chastisement of our peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. You know, if this old body don't heal itself, there ain't a thing the doctors can do about it. You know that? If you cut yourself, a knife fight had 4 dozen stitches in that arm, cut the 2 muscles of those 2 fingers, couldn't move them, cut that thing. It's big, 4 dozen stitches. You know? If that wouldn't have healed, it would have sewed it all back together. And if it wouldn't heal, still wouldn't be able to move them 2 fingers, would I? Huh? No. If God doesn't allow the body to heal, there's nothing a doctor can do for you. Yeah, they can set your leg, they can, you know, splint you, they can sew you up, we can do all that stuff. But if the body does not heal, there's nothing they can do. And I wonder sometimes if we don't take for granted that our bodies do heal themselves because of what God does for us. He built you in a miraculously awesome way. When this thing works, it works well. Huh? When it all works, it works well, doesn't it? It works well. And when things start to go bad, it don't work so well. The older we get, an amen from an older guy, just a little older than me, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, the older we get, this stuff don't work as well. You know what I mean? And it don't heal as fast. You see what I'm saying? But because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross, he's talking about physical healing. He's also talking about spiritual healing for us. You know, I've had people, you come across people, somebody pass away or something, you know, and they hate God. God's fault. It's God's fault. All this stuff happened. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in that garden, that started a downhill trend for us. It really did. Sin overtook the world. It just got worse. Look outside. I don't even watch the news anymore. I don't know about you guys, but there's not really much good to watch. It's like it's depressing. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather go read my Bible knowing that God's going to take care of all that one way or the other. The only thing I have to be careful with, I don't stick my head in the sand. Because, you know, there's things as Christians, it's just like I said, 92% of people never share their faith. 92%? That's a lot of people. You got something. You got a joy. You got, woohoo! Don't you think other people want to know that? Don't you think? Don't you think other people need to know that they have a Savior who died on that cross, who knows everything they've ever done? Everything! I got some stuff I wouldn't want to tell you. You guys probably don't. I got some stuff that I don't think I'd want to tell you that I did. God knows. He knows. And you know what's cool about it? He still loves this old dirty guy. Woo! He still loves me. You know, when I ask him for forgiveness for dumb things I do, things that I missay, things I misact, things I misthink, he's faithful to forgive me. He's faithful to forgive me. God's justice, his judgment, all that he is holiness, met on the cross of his love. His son himself, God himself, paid the price for you and I. As Easter gets closer, keep that in mind. He paid the price. He paid a price that none of us could ever, 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 in a million lifetimes, ever pay. We're not perfect. You guys may be. There might be some of you out there that are perfect. I'm not. I fail miserably. But God, forgive me. Isn't that cool? Verse 6, I want to read it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's probably the best definition of sin I think I've heard in a long time. Matt Wiseman, Neil, you guys got sheep. They're pretty intelligent, very easy to train. Nothing wrong with sheep. You know, they're just dumber than a box of rocks is what they are. Yeah, I understand. And he says, we're like sheep. we think we got it together, we think we got our life under control, and we're going to do it our way, like a sheep. One sheep goes over the cliff, they all follow suit, because they're stupid. That's a bad word. They're dumber than a box of rocks, okay? Sheep are dumber than a box of rocks. They'll all go over the cliff. They're all going to die. That's a sheep. Isaiah says, you know, we're like sheep. We've all turned astray. We've all tried to go our own way. What's it say in that last part of that verse? And the Lord has made the light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. God says, you know, I know you're a dumb sheep. You're going to go do some dumb stuff. But I'm going to make a way that you could put all your transgressions, your sin, your iniquities, all the dumbness that you are on my son. And then I can forgive you of it. And we can be in fellowship again. Is that cool? Huh? Amen. I think we're going to stop there. I think there's a lot more stuff that I was going to look at, but I think we'll stop there. You know what? God said you're done. So I am. Praise the Lord. Remember, he died on that cross. I still look at it and I still am amazed. I'm still dumbfounded. I still don't know all the ramifications of what he did on that cross. I don't know. But the more I look at his word, the more it impresses upon me, the more things I see. Chris Wiseman said this last week. She was woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning or something, said she had an idea to pray for me. She needed to, because God was trying to show me something. I was stupid. I was a box of rocks. I woke up at 2 o'clock, wide awake. I thought, my alarm didn't go off. You ever do that? My alarm didn't go off. You jump and look. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, I'm wide awake. I had like 15 cups of coffee. He was like, I'm wide awake. So what do? I go in my room and study. And the Lord was trying to show me something. That's why Chris is called prayer, because he knew this guy, he's not getting it. He's not getting it. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Just remember, God loves you. He made a way for you. In the Lord and Savior's Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, I just praise you for being in our midst this morning. I praise you for showing us your love. I praise you for showing us your mercy. And I praise you for pouring out your grace upon us. Oh, Father, we love you. We love you, and we just can't take our eyes off of you, Father, because you are God. We look at your precious Son, Jesus. We're dumbfounded by how much you loved us. You send your Son. Take all my abuse, all my stupidity, all my grief, my sins, my sorrows, my transgressions upon himself and nail them to that cross. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. Press that on our hearts this morning, Father. We would understand we are loved by the God of the universe. We praise for that. Thank you, Father. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise team is going to come forward. I got a little song to sing up here. And elder's going to come forward. That's the matter here. We're here every Sunday. We're here to pray for you every Sunday. There's a healing you need. There's an emotional problem you have. There's a mental stress you have. If there's anything that you have that you want us to pray for, that's why we're here. We're going to take it to the Lord. We're going to talk to him about it. We're going to lay at his feet. We know he's going to work on it. If you need anything this morning, anything for prayer, don't be afraid to come forward. God's waiting here for you. Thank you. Guys, have a great week.